Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
Welcome, my perfect and holy children of God, to the second episode of the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast. It's PPP with BBB. I like that. My name is Big Bad Boris, and I'm not alone. Last time you had to listen to me blather on for half an hour by myself, and it's very awkward for me just to talk by myself. But I have a guest, female professional wrestler extraordinaire, Taryn from accounting. Taryn, welcome to the palatial studios of PPP. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm awesome.
Now, this is interesting, because I was thinking about this when you said that you wanted to be on and do this. I was thinking, we've hung out at shows.
Yeah.
We've hung out at training a few times.
Mm-hmm.
We've hung out at the gym a fair amount of times.
Yeah, we worked out a lot.
I know absolutely nothing about you.
It's because you don't ask me about myself, B-man.
But I don't like to pry into people's shit, but I'm like, this is a perfect time to learn things about you. Now, why wrestling? I know that's a big, very broad question, but why?
Why did I get into wrestling?
Yes.
Well, I think if I summed it all up, the reason why I went to my first mini camp and actually like followed through with it was honestly just to prove that I could.
Okay.
And honestly just to like push myself to do something that I didn't think that I could do, or I didn't think that I would follow through with, because I think I went through this like phase of like trying stuff and just like not sticking to anything.
What kind of stuff?
Like I was in
ballerinas and pole dancing and
I was a dancer growing up. I was a horrible one.
Roller derby and
no, I was never into roller
and
derby.
Painting and tiddlywinks.
No, but like boxing.
Okay.
And like I liked traveling, and I did like Muay Thai when I was in Abu Dhabi. I lived there, and I was just trying all these different things.
You lived in Abu Dhabi?
I did. I was there for 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do while you were there?
I was a teacher. I was teaching kindergarten at a private school.
Really?
Yeah.
And taking Muay Thai?
Yeah, well, because I went to Thailand, and that's like...
See, this is already fascinating, and it's been, like, 2 minutes.
I mean, I'm a millennial. I feel like we all went to Thailand. Not everybody, you know. But yeah, so I fell in love with the Thai boxing there. That's all I did. Everybody was going to beaches and stuff, and I was going to these, like, seedy Muay Thai shows, or they're not, you know, anyways. So yeah, I just decided, like, I put the flyer up on my fridge and was like, I'm going. And then, so I emailed, was like, I can't back out now. I went and I dropped off my deposit. And it was just like, I fell in love with it.
Whose camp was it?
It was MPW.
That's fine.
It's fine. It was great. It was a great place to.
Who was teaching?
Teaching? I guess
like
Massive.
He was running the thing?
He was running the show, yeah. You know, telling us what to do and stuff. And I did. I learned some things from him, and that was really, really great. But like really, okay, so if I have to I'm going to boil it down to it. My sister used to make fun of me. For
older?
Liking wrestling. Older sister.
Okay.
She used to bug me.
Did you like wrestling?
Because I loved it.
Well, she's a
I
bitch.
I used to have like a subscription to WWF magazine. I would put hearts around Bret Hart. Like he was my favorite.
Aww.
And so she used to bully me for it. And then she becomes a wrestler. She was a burlesque dancer. She met another wrestler. She got into wrestling. And I was like,
Older sister.
Yeah. And I was like,
does she wrestle now?
She does still, yeah.
Where?
Out of Vancouver.
Who the hell is she?
Her name's Calamity Kate.
Do I know her?
I don't know, do you?
It doesn't ring a bell. No disrespect intended.
That's fine.
Okay.
But she is now just recently married to Cobra Kai.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and I was like... So, and then she came to Edmonton, and they were doing an RCW show, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you doing what I've always loved?
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when I was like, I'm doing this. Like, if these two dummies can do it, I can do it.
That's a good story.
Okay, well, thanks.
So who's better?
Me. Like, no question.
No, are you just, like, sticking it to her? Or
no,
are you,
I'm not.
You're legit better?
I'm not. I love her. She's great. She's talented at many things. She's a very talented wrestler. I'm just better.
Well, why? Well, okay, clandestine. I want sister and sister.
We will do that eventually, honestly. But, like, honestly, I've not been wrestling
I'm formulating for that commentary
long.
In my head literally right now for that match. It's going
to
be the best
thing ever. We want to verse the Hall sisters. Sister v. sisters.
There's money to be made here. Okay, so I find interesting how you got here, but also why you got here. What are influences? What did you watch? What made you... Obviously, you're drawing hearts around Bret Hart and all that kind of stuff. Who, like, when did you start? Why? Was it, like, Attitude Era? Or, like, I have no idea how old you are. I know it's not polite to ask. I'm not going to. So, was it Attitude Era? Was it before that? Was it after that?
I started watching before that, for sure. I started watching probably when I was, like, I want to say, like, 5. I'm 36 now.
Okay.
And then... I just
you
like,
look great for 36, respectfully,
oh,
of course.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm 112.
You look it.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So, yeah, I started watching it when I was a little girl, like, I think because it was on after cartoons.
Ah, okay.
I remember there was the cartoons with that news weather guy. Anyways, he, like, hosted this cartoon show.
Oh, okay. You're from here, right? Were you born here?
Yeah, in Edmonton. Oh, no, I was born in Edson. I'm from Edson, but same diff.
I think I know what you're talking about a little bit, though.
Yeah, I just remember him.
Mike
and then,
Sowell or whatever it was. I think that's who
I think that's him. And then wrestling was on right after. So I just got into it because I would just, like, flow right in. And then I think I got out of it for a little while, and then I came back in. During the Attitude Era.
Okay. See, that's kind of how I was. I watched when I was, like, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 44. Mm-hmm. But I watched when I was a kid. And then kind of in that mid-early 90s, I grew up, but wrestling didn't. So I kind of got out of it for a little bit. And then I started catching little bits of Raw here and there. And then I found out about ECW. And I was like, oh, shit. This is... wrestling for me now, and that just snowballed me back into it, and I became the obsessed mess that I am now. Now,
well, it's good. It's
we're
going to
segue
obsessed.
Because this is Punk and Pile Driver, so we're going to segue from the wrestling to gum. You just did the weirdest shit I've ever seen. You put some gum in when you got here, and you chewed the gum, and I was like, okay, we're going to get ready. You took the gum out of your mouth.
I did.
And you put it back into the little compartment that it came from.
Yeah.
And put it back in your purse.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, like, I don't know where else I'm going to put it here.
Well, you could say, hey, Boris, you got a garbage can or something?
No. We're already sitting down. Like, I'm not getting back up. This is a really comfy couch. Now and, like, it just makes sense. You stuff it back in the little
back
pocket
in its home?
That it comes out of.
You're going to chew that gum again. You're lying to me right now.
I'm not going to chew it, but I'm probably not going to chew it. But, like, if it comes up and I pull the pack out and there's no more fresh pieces and I really need a piece of gum.
Oh, that's
weird. I've never done it, but I would. All right. I would.
Now, you told me when I announced this project that you wanted to be on because you're a punk rock fan as well.
Yeah.
So let's go with that now. Where did that come from?
Okay, I'm going to sound like a serious, like I'm obsessed with my sister, but I'm not. She's just older, and that's,
well, that's how
sisters
work. Well, that's how older siblings are, especially the same sex. Like, I got a lot of my musical taste from my older brother as well.
For sure. I think I just remember she went, because we grew up in Edson.
Sorry to hear that.
I loved it. She came to Edmonton, and she went to... a show, and I want to say it was the Misfits and AFI for sure, and for some reason she brought me back a CD, like an AFI CD.
That's
and I was
cool.
Like, oh yeah, great, thanks. And it was just like, I loved it. Like, people made fun of how much I was obsessed with AFI. I had, like, I put a fire inside on the back of my car, like this big giant sticker I got made. Like I paid money to get this shit made. And like, I love AFI. I love Davey Havoc.
I think they've got something new coming out right away, if memory serves me correctly. I like to look at the new release, the upcoming releases, and I think they have something new coming out. Now, I let you pick a couple of, not let you, I asked you.
Oh, thank you.
that didn't sound good. I asked you to pick a couple of tracks that we would play, and one of the tracks that you picked was an AFI song. Tell me about the song, and we're going to go to it.
Tell you about the song?
Tell me about the song, and then we're going to go to it.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is the part where you tell me about the song, then we'll go to it.
Wait, you want me to tell you about the AFI song?
You could tell me about, like, Billie Jean or something if you want, but we're not going to go to that.
Billie Jean is actually a fascinating story. There's a really fascinating story behind it. But anyways.
I don't know if you're being serious or not right
now. I'm being dead serious.
Oh, well, then we're going to come back to that after you tell me about AFI.
Yeah, I picked AFI because obviously it's the band that really like grabbed me in terms of any band, really. I think I just grew up listening to music and just listening to like what was out there on the radio and on Much Music or whatever. But this was like...
Remember when Much Music played videos?
I loved it. Pop-up video. I wish they had it now. I didn't appreciate it when they had it then because I was always like, what's all this popping? And like, it's distracting, but...
Ask me about that later.
I will. We got to start taking notes. Yeah. We got so much to talk about.
We'll be here for days.
So yeah, AFI is the first band that like grabbed me into music and really like started to give me a sense of identity of like, because I was a young teenager and so insecure and so like, where do I fit in? So it was kind of the first thing that was like, oh, this is really cool and I can fit in and like, these are cool people who have the same, like, it just started everything in terms of, like, who I am, really.
All right, so what's the song called?
Oh, A Single Second.
A Single Second, AFI, Punk and Pop Rivers Podcast. Check it out. Oh, my God! My God, this got me out of line! God, tell me this isn't real! I can't believe all that I have seen is finally happening! I can't afford a single second to the way I feel! AFI, A Single Second on the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris, joined by TFA. Now, you wrote me a Billie Jean check, and now you will pay up. Tell me the story behind Billie Jean.
Well, really, the story is just the lyrics in the song. There was this crazy stalker woman who stalked Michael Jackson. And
as many have, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Or did.
And, yeah, she said that this kid that she had was his, and it wasn't, like...
Kid was not his son.
Exactly. Oh. And she wasn't his lover.
What?
She wasn't.
Billie Jean was not his lover?
No. Oh. And the kid wasn't his son.
I almost want to play it now, but I'm not going to. Let's pop back to wrestling for a moment because you mentioned pop-up video. A few years ago, WWE put out a DVD, the WrestleMania 3 Championship Edition. And they had a special version of it where it was just the whole show, mm-hmm. but pop-up video, pop-up shit on it. And
they have to do that for more
awesome.
Things.
It was so cool. And it was like some of the facts were like lame, but like some of it was really, really like we served a zillion million hamburgers at WrestleMania. Just like cool shit like that.
Yeah,
really cool.
I would love that.
Yeah, and I was like, that'd be great for, especially for some of the older stuff where there's weird facts about what was going on back then.
Yeah, and I'm also, okay, maybe I wouldn't like, I would like that stuff, but I'm a gossip hound. I love
you so, are actually. I've I been am. At the gym with you, or you're, you know.
I love it, and it's not malicious. It's not like bad gossip where I like I want to spread people's dirty little secrets. I like to know everything.
As Stevie Ray said back in WCW days, "Suckers got to know."
Exactly.
All right.
So, anyways, I want to know the dirt, though. I want like pop up, like.
Pop-up heroin addiction.
So, exactly. This person was like so drunk and that person was friggin' this person in the back.
Friggin'? Come on. Come on, let me have it.
I swear like a trucker, but now I'm nervous.
So you're all shy now. Okay, how long did you train before your first match?
Not long enough. I'll tell you that much.
I respect the fact that you understand and could admit that.
Yeah. I trained, I think, for 3 months.
And that's not long at all.
No. And it was a four-way match, though, so that was really nice. And it was...
I would be, and again, I preface this, everything I say, that I am not a wrestler. I mm-hmm. have never been a wrestler. So all I know is what I think. And the little teeny bit of wrestling I have done. But I think my first match being a four-way would be really intimidating because there's so many more moving parts of things going on.
Probably knowing what I know now, yes. But then I think I felt more comfortable knowing that the spotlight wasn't just on
fair
me.
Fair enough.
It was
okay.
Nice. And, you know, Sexy Samantha was in that mm-hmm. match.
Veteran.
And she can carry a match. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't matter what I'm doing. I could be flopping around. It's not going to be the best match she's ever had, but she'll get us through.
Who else was in it?
Phoenix and Soraya Sawyer.
Did you win?
I didn't, but okay. I was so excited because I had so many friends there. They were
this was
so
a monster
wonderful.
Show, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was at the ranch, so it was a bar show.
Oh, bar show! Like, I wish PWA would do a bar show.
Oh my god, there.
That was one of the things
best.
That I really liked about that first clandestine show is you know, all bets were off and I was able to kind of be, I was encouraged to be a little edgier.
Yeah.
And by the time the death match rolled around, I was kind of drunk. So
I was wasted.
Well, I was told by the booker man of that mm-hmm. show, go ahead, have beers. So I had beers. And by the time the main event rolled around, I wasn't like wasted. I was just feeling good. And I let some F-bombs fly and stuff like that.
I was loaded. But, yeah. I think like after I was done, I just started cracking. And then I panicked. I was like, oh my God, all the alcohol is going to sell out. So I bought a shit ton and I filled my bag. And then so like by the end of the night, I was like handing out drinks to everybody.
Really?
Because I was like, I have too many. I can't drink these all.
I brought my own. Anyway, we'll come back to clandestine because I want to talk to you about that.
Yes.
But so yeah, first match, bar show.
Bar
so
show.
That was cool.
All my friends were there. So you asked if I won. I didn't win. I lost. But I got pinned. So it was me and I want to say maybe Phoenix won or something. Throw her a bone. And so she pinned me. It was me and her in the ring. And I, like an idiot, I just popped up. And I was like so excited that I got through my first match. And I don't care that I, like, it's embarrassing that I did it, but I don't care. I was so proud of myself. I was so happy. I jumped up into the corner and I acted like I won because my friends were cheering for me and they started chanting. And that's when, like, I think people started chanting TFA.
I could see you get, so this was after you took the pin?
Yeah.
I could see you getting a little heat for that, though.
Nobody said a thing. I think
just
surprisingly,
youthful
right.
exuberance.
Exactly. I just, I couldn't help it. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just was like, yeah, I did it. And everybody's cheering my name. And I looked at her and was like, oh yeah, this is your moment. And I just walked out. And I think she was like looking around because like nobody was paying attention.
I get the feeling, because after I was done the match with Andy, I was just so happy that it was over and that it was, I thought it was good and I didn't fuck up, that I get that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Where did Taryn from accounting come from? Because when I first heard it, I was like, that's fucking brilliant. And then I heard the 9 to 5 and I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
Aw, thanks.
And you're over like Rover every time I've seen you.
Isn't it nuts? I don't even
like,
know
no
why,
disrespect, but like the first match that I saw you wrestle, and I might have even been clandestine the first one, I'm not 100% sure, but I was like, and I don't mean this like in a dick way, but I'm like, she's over like fuck, and I have no idea who this girl is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think it's just...
But where did the accounting thing come from?
I mean, I say this all the time. I'm a stupid person.
Your sister?
And it's okay, my
I'm
sister.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. She was Kate from HR, so no. Not her. It's about me.
All right.
I'm a stupid person, and it's a stupid, silly, funny name.
But it's smart.
It's smart. Listen, I can't take credit for it. There's a drag queen. I don't even know the drag queen's name, to be honest. But it's something from, like, HR or something like that. Might have been in my head or something, or I think a friend of mine told me about it. Anyways, I just thought it was funny, and I thought it was different. And when I brought it to MPW, because they wanted, like, because they knew I was a teacher, and they were like, come on, be hot for teacher. Be, like, you know, one of those just... slimy.
That's not so good.
And that's not me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know me now. Like, yeah. There's no way.
Again, total respect, but you're just a big dork.
Right.
And I mean it respectfully. Like, you get it.
I'll take it. So when I brought...
She hates me now.
When I brought it to them, they were like, nah, I don't think so. But I just really put my foot down and was like, this is what I want to do. This is my plan. This is, like, my vision. And I think, like... they kind of came around to it, which is really nice. Like, it was really, I mean, really nice. Like, what the fuck could they do? Again, thank you so much.
Where did 9 to 5 come from? Was that your idea as well?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of made sense because it's like Taryn from accounting is just this girl who's always worked behind the scenes, but just sick of being behind the scenes and just like me, like wanted to challenge herself and just wants to like, be something bigger and better than what she is.
Who came up with balancing books with striking good looks? Was that Ivan?
No, that was my brother.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to give Ivan credit for that because it's a great line. But if it's not his, no disrespect to what about Ivan?
No, that was my brother-in-law. But I'm going to give you or Mike credit for the number cruncher.
That was not me. And I fucking wish it was.
I don't know who it was.
It was not me. I believe it might have been Mike. And when he said it, I was like, God damn it, I wish that was mine.
When I heard it, I was like, damn, that made that move look so much cooler.
Yeah. Those shows are a lot of fun. Let's go back to music. Now, you picked out a second song. It is by The Bronx. I want to say I saw The Bronx once. I want to say they opened for Green Day, but I might... No, it wasn't. Oh, fuck, I don't know. I've seen so many bands.
Yeah.
Explain.
I mean, honestly, this song really is just like a banger. I have no reason. Like, no,
does it
like,
slap? That's what the kids say
it
now.
Slaps,
it slaps.
It snaps. It's a
it slaps
tune.
And snaps.
Oh, I don't know. I have no reason for like choosing that one. It's just like it's such a good song. It's got such a good vibe. It's got like. You know, you can move and shake to it. And
move and shake.
Move and shake. I think I chose, because I remember they were here, and probably the last time they were here in Edmonton, they played at the Starlight Room. And it was, I've seen them a bunch of times. Mm. I've gone to Montreal to see them as well. And it's just like always the best time, like the best energy. The crowd is always so like amped up and like, the singer gets into the crowd and like does half the show from the crowd. And it's just like, you're not watching a show, you're in it and you're part of a show. And it's like the best, like feeling ever when you're at a show like that. Because, you know, when you go to a show and you're just standing there and you're watching this band that you really, really like, but kind of sometimes, like, near the end, you're like, okay, like, my feet hurt, yeah, my back hurts, I'm kind of tired, even though you love them. Mm-hmm. But, like, with the Bronx, I've never been to a show where I'm like, where I've like not been like, let's keep going. Like, I need like another hour of this because I don't want it to end. And I think I remember they played this song in Edmonton. I didn't think that they would. And they did. And I just, I lost it. And I had so much fun. Like, I'm not a mosher. I'm a lady.
I was a little bit back when I was in high school. And then I got kicked in the head by a giant Doc Martin at the fucking Presidents of the United States of America. You know, Peach's Lump?
Of course.
Kicked in the head and concussed, and that was the end of my moshing days. Anyway, not about me, about you.
No. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like when this song came on, it was just like so awesome. I remember running over to my friend Sean, like I was on one side of the crowd and he was on the other. And I just, like, ran up. We almost did, like, one of those, like, what's that, Dirty Dancing lift. Like, it was just, like, I don't know. It felt really great. So when I was, like, okay, I got to choose a couple songs, this was, like, instant. It's such a good song.
All right, now the spotlight's on you now because you're going to talk up the song. You're going to intro the song.
Oh, okay.
Radio style, let's go.
Well, okay, so this song.
I went to school for this shit, so expectations are high.
But this song, I think, was on the Snakes on a Plane soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
And actually, the first time I heard this song, I think I heard it off that soundtrack.
I think it was on some video game thing, too, because when I was pulling this, I saw a bunch of comments about, oh, this reminds me of playing Need for Speed, whatever. So it might have been on some video game as well.
But I just remember every time I would listen to this song, because it was on my MP3 player, before the song would come on, it would be Samuel L. Jackson saying, I am sick and tired of these motherfucking snakes.
There's the cursing.
On
this now she's
motherfucking
comfortable.
Plane. And then it would like kick into the song.
Nice.
So kick in. Oh, Around the Horn by the Bronx. You give it a rest. And then try it again with my soul.
The Bronx on the Punk and Powderous podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris with Taryn from accounting. TFA, what was your first concert?
Paula Abdul.
That's not bad and very close to mine.
What was yours?
What year was this?
Well, couldn't tell you, but I wore white leather boots with leather cowboy boots with fringe on them. What year was this? Scat Cat was around.
Oh, opposites attract. Okay, yeah.
That era.
I hate the fact that I know that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm full of like useless wrestling and useless musical knowledge. That's all I have going for me. My first concert, by the way, 1990, Janet Jackson at the Saddledome Academy.
Cool.
What was the last show that you went to before the world fell apart?
I was thinking about this, and here's the sad thing. I think the last concert I went to, the last concert I remember going to is Orville Peck.
That name sounds familiar, but
he's cool. He's like this, like country.
I keep thinking Oliver Peck, but that's the tattoo guy.
Yeah, he's like this country western guy from Vancouver. He wears like this mask with fringe on it, very mysterious, and he's got like beautiful outfits and like this deep baritone voice, and he sings like these beautiful country western songs. But he's got a punk rock background.
Okay.
Like, you're not supposed to know who he is. And like, if I'm being honest, I really don't know. I've looked it up and
you can't know everything.
I try. That's why I like the gossip. I want to know everything. But like, I don't know his bands like from before. I've never heard them. But yeah, he's got like this punk rock background as well from Vancouver. So that was like the last concert I remember.
Where was that?
Starlight.
Best
Starlight
concert.
Room is a fantastic venue here in Starlight Edmonton, Room actually.
Best concert you ever been to? Or favorite, best, whatever you want to call it.
That's a tough one. Like, it's probably going to be... Oh, you know what? I was going to say probably the Bronx, but I've been to some really good, like, Against Me.
Oh, and I'd love to see them.
I think one that I loved especially...
I have so much respect for her.
I know.
And doing what she did in that genre, and where everybody says they're so open-minded and cool, but there's a lot of people who talk a lot of shit but don't walk the walk, you know?
For sure.
So much respect for her.
But I was going to say...
Great band, too.
So good. They're one of my top two, I would probably say. But I was going to say my favorite concert would probably be the first Against Me concert I went to after she had come out. Because it was like, before when you would go to see Against Me, it was the usual crowd. Because like, again, I've seen them a bunch of times as well. The usual crowd, nobody stands out or anything. You know, just like your punk crowd. But then when I went, they were playing at Union Hall.
It's an okay... venue.
That's a great venue. I feel like they pack it too much.
I think I've only ever been there once, actually, and it was for a hip-hop show, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think it's a cool venue. I like how they have the two floors, but I feel like they pack it too much. Like, it's especially if you're up at the top, like if you're not on the bar, like on the railing, you can't see the band.
But the crowd was different after?
But the crowd was different because it was there was like the same old crowd. But then there was other people there who were there for different reasons, which was really, really nice to see. And it was nice to have this shared experience for different reasons. Like, I was there to watch one of my favorite bands. They were there to watch somebody who has recently just like come out and spoken for them and given them like a face in this, punk rock world where now they can come and feel like they're in a place where, you know,
and
everybody's
we're seeing
accepted.
This in wrestling. Wrestling is changing so much right now.
If you
follow the independent scene,
Effie?
That's where I'm going to get to. I'm a giant indie wrestling dork, and I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
But the way that we, if I can say, we treat the women, and the fact that it is the LGBTQ community, like there's advocates for them, there's fans, there's whole shows. Yeah. Effie's a fucking legend.
Love him.
And what he's done for LGBTQ talent. Mm-hmm. And I really realized how much it was changing. I want to say this is 2 or so years ago. There was a GCW show, and I don't know if you're familiar with GCW, but they do a fair amount of death matches. And during the match, somebody brought out a dildo wrapped in barbed wire and stuck the dildo in the in the other guy's mouth.
Oh, my God.
And the fans started chanting, "You suck dick. You suck dick. You suck dick." And then they stopped and started chanting, "But that's okay."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because even 10 years ago, you'd never hear that. If you put a dildo in somebody's mouth, they would just, so, I don't know. And there's wrestlers who are transgender and all kinds of like super cool shit going on. So
non-binary.
It ties in with what we were talking about with Against Me.
But I think at the end of the day, like, music is art, wrestling is art, and artists just always find a way to reach everybody.
Yeah.
And if you're down with it, if you're cool with it, like, you get it and you're part of it and you stick around. And if you don't, bye.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think that's great about wrestling is there's all kinds of people who like wrestling.
Yeah.
All kinds of ethnicities and sexualities and yada, yada, yada. And there's a place for them here.
Yeah.
And it's getting better in terms of the like, let's face it, we were very misogynistic and very racial.
I don't mean this as a slight, but you still introduced me as a female wrestler.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
And that's totally cool. Because
and I was proud
to be a female, like a woman wrestler.
I was on Duke Durango's podcast a little while ago. And he had Giselle Shaw on a few episodes before me. And he introduced her as a lady wrestler. And I thought that was a very antiquated term because that's what you used to hear like back in the 80s, the lady wrestlers. And he was like, I don't know. It seems fine to me. And yeah, I guess I did introduce you as female. You know what? I apologize.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. Sometimes I even call myself, like, I'm a woman and I'm a wrestler for sure. But I think nothing. It's just
worst concert you ever been to.
Okay, there has to be one, but I'm just trying to think. I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I could probably
That's good,
spend
then.
5 minutes. I'm thinking, I don't want to sound like such a love, but.
You're kind of coming across that way, but that's good.
No, but I'm thinking, like, if I'm going to watch something, I'm sure, you know, even if I'm at a dive bar and people are singing, like, they're rocking old covers, I'm loving it.
See, and that kind of leads me to my next question, because is there a show you went to that's not necessarily your type of music that you wouldn't normally go to, but maybe you were dragged by a friend or whatever that you ended up loving? Because I have a story like that.
Well,
or not a story, but I have a show like that.
The one that pops into mind, I went to the Calgary Stampede.
Hey.
Yeah, boo Calgary.
Hey, get the fuck out.
I love Calgary. Calgary is so much fun. It's so beautiful.
It's the best place in the world.
It's nice. But I'd never been to the Stampede before, and my cousins do the Stampede. Like, they do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And they get, like, VIP at all these places, and, like, you're not waiting in lines, you're not standing in crowds, you're, like... So I think if I ever went back to the Stampede, I couldn't
You couldn't slum it with the common folk?
No way. Like, I need VIP status now. But we ended up going to this, I think it was, like, Goo Goo Dolls and Wallflowers, maybe Train. Like, I wasn't too...
That sounds awful.
It sounds awful, but Goo Goo Dolls were awesome. They were they sounded so good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Goo Goo Dolls were, like, a punk rock
band? Oh, yeah. Sugar Ray used to be a hardcore band, too.
Yeah. And they were so good. They were so good. And they played Iris, so... Shut it.
Many years ago, with my ex-wife, I went to see Michael Bublé with her. And I tried to go in with an open mind or whatever, not my thing. He was phenomenal.
Funny.
I loved it.
Funny.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah. He is a traditional showman, you know.
Very charismatic though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I can hear my voice getting like more and more manly as we go.
You sound the same
allergies. Do I?
Maybe you should pull that piece of gum back out now.
I know. Daniel.
So, in terms of professional wrestling, what do you want out of this? Do you have a long-term goal of, I want to be in WWE or AEW or Ring of Honor? Or are you just having fun and going with the flow? Or
yeah.
Because you're talented.
Well, thank you.
You're good.
I have no plans to go anywhere, to be honest with you. I don't, like, WWE is not my goal. AEW is not my goal. I think when I first started, it was like a definite no. Like, I just want to do this here and have fun with my friends and, like, maybe have some of my friends come watch me and then we go for drinks after. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my plan getting into it. But I think the more that I train, the more I want to branch out, only because I feel like I train so hard.
I have seen you in the gym, and you give her.
Yeah, thanks.
You work hard, you earn it.
Yeah, thanks.
And I'm not trying to blow smoke up the wazoo. You. I've seen you crumble after a set.
I did crumble that one day.
But I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school here, but you work out with MRB. Yeah. As I have done many times, and he's a motherfucker.
He's a monster.
He is...
I don't understand him.
He won't give up on you.
No.
And it pisses me off because he's like, Borsch, you got one more in you. I'm like, no, I don't. And he's like, you got one more in you. And you do it, and you hate him.
I know.
But he makes you better.
I know.
And I know he hates that... any time you say anything good about him, but there's so much good you can say about him.
I know. And, like, it's like, yeah... He's a special person anyways.
He got so mad at me at the first clandestine show.
Why?
Because I made a speech. I grabbed him at the end of the show in the locker. I don't
know
if you were there or not.
Sweet.
But he deserved it. He put the whole thing together. And I'm like, I know you're so mad at me right now, but I don't care.
100%. Yeah. I know.
So we talked. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my plan is not to go anywhere. But I feel like I train really hard. And I've got all this stuff that I want to try and that I want to do. And like... Again, for me now, that's like my next challenge. So like, even if it's just like traveling around, you know, Western Canada at first, and then maybe branching out from there and, you know, maybe going to the States to do a couple small shows. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want anything big time, but I just want to like take what I've learned and go do it. Because like here in Edmonton, I feel I wrestle the same people, which is awesome because we can really put on great shows and we can really have good matches.
But you can learn so much from
other
people.
But yeah,
I
want to challenge myself. Yeah. I want to like make myself feel really uncomfortable and see how I come out of it. Like not knowing somebody. For me, when I first wrestle somebody who I don't know, it's like my first time wrestling again. Mm. I get so nervous just because... I'm so new still, you know. And
how long has it been? It's been a few years anyway. A
couple of years only, though. Only. Like, that's not long in wrestling. And I just feel like, I just feel like I want everything to go so good. And I want I want our matches always to be, like, so good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because, like, no, I don't want to get into it. But I want a good match.
Uh-oh. Get into what? Deep-seated childhood regression?
No, not at all. But just you know, showing that women can have banging matches. You know, like knockout, drag-down fight matches. Not just, you know, the stereotypical what you would think of in the past of a woman wrestling.
Hair whips and
exactly. And
stuff
I
like
just
that.
So I just like I want to like. Knock people's socks off and be like, not that was a good women's match, but that was a good wrestling match.
Yeah, you're not a women's wrestler, you're a wrestler.
Yeah.
Now, you told me earlier that you don't watch wrestling.
I don't.
Why? I find that interesting. And I said this to you before we started. I've found in my experience there's two kinds of wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who watch all kinds of shit, and there's people who don't watch anything. Why don't you watch anything? I'm not saying you're wrong. I just find
it
interesting.
I don't feel bad about it. I just, okay, here's the thing. Like, I took, like, this after, like,
what was that?
I don't know. I'm just, like,
your brain is
stuttering.
Working? Okay.
I'm just trying to think. Like, I watch wrestling. I like watching wrestling. I watch wrestling with my friends. Like, all the pay-per-views. I'll go watch them with my friends. Mm-hmm. But I don't, and it's unfortunate because I really like wrestling, but I don't sit down and watch it. I don't have cable, which is not an excuse. Like I have a computer. I don't know. I just don't search it out. I'm lazy, I guess, when it comes to it. But like, you know, when I'm like trying to learn new things and learn new moves, like I'll go on YouTube and like I'll try to look at new stuff. And like I train with Zoe and she's like constantly showing me cool stuff. So, you know, I get little snippets.
See,
here
she
and there.
Is on the, sorry to cut you off. Mm-mm. She's on the other end of the spectrum because from what Zoe I gather, she watches all kinds of stuff.
Zoe lives and breathes wrestling. Like she.
MRB has been a terrible influence on her.
Terrible, but like this girl is like, she's
and
got.
And she's young. I think she's going somewhere.
Oh my God.
She is the, like, trying to put it in a way that makes sense, but like the ultimate baby face because, and that this isn't disrespectful, but she's a small girl. And when she's taking heat, you feel a lot of sympathy for her. And when she fires up, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. She like the knowledge that she has now, like she's really become like a student of wrestling, not like me, like going in like, let's run ropes, let's do some things. But she's like, somebody flip me. But she's like, yeah, she's amazing.
Can we talk about your shoot career, or would you rather not talk about your shoot career?
For sure.
Have you ever wanted to super kick a kid?
All the time.
Have you ever super kicked a kid?
Bunting them almost on the daily. And like wearing masks right now are really good because like I can actually like mouth the
fuck
like
you.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh yeah, you're a teacher, right? We should preface that if people don't know what you're talking about. You could like work at the bottle depot or something.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I mean, no, let's talk about you. How did you get into punk rock?
I don't know how I necessarily got into punk rock, but there's a story that I like to tell because it's cheesy, but it's apropos. When I was in high school, I had two groups of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I had my artsy fartsy friends who were into like drama and music and stuff, and I was really into music and I play the drums and I was in bands in high school and stuff, and and then there was my friends who were into sports.
Yeah.
And the two did not mesh. And it sounds super like Degrassi High, but I didn't know who to be.
Yeah.
Which one to be.
Yeah, I was there.
And I was watching a documentary on the Ramones, who I love because they're the fucking Ramones. And they were interviewing Johnny Ramone at his home. And this room was full of just baseball shit, as far as the eye could see. And Johnny, and he's talking about collecting baseball cards and shit. And I'm like, well, Johnny Ramone can be both. Then fuck it, I can be both too. And then that's just my story. I don't really know.
I think that's a great story.
I when I was super, super young, I liked pop music just because you're super young.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into like hair metal when I was in junior high.
Okay.
And then, and again, this is another thing that sounds really, really cheesy unless you were there. But then I heard Nevermind by Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone says that it like changed everything immediately, but it's fucking true. I heard Nevermind and my record collection was immediately obsolete.
Yeah.
And then I got into all like, you know, the alternative grungy stuff, and that's where the kind of the punk came from that.
Yeah.
But I found I'm doing it backwards. Because you're supposed to be all punky and rebellious when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting like more punky and rebellious as I'm getting older.
Okay.
So I don't know.
That's awesome.
So what's your favorite band? Bronx favorite band? Susie and the Banshees? Paula Abdul? The Bee Gees? Susie and the Bee Gees? That's a good name for a band. Fuck, that write that down.
Favorite band? I guess you could say the Bronx. I don't know if I have a favorite band. Yeah,
What's your karaoke go-to?
Bjork.
What?
Yeah.
Which one?
What's that? It's Oh So Quiet.
No.
And
Do you do the scream and everything?
I'm not even joking, Boris. I fucking killed.
Do you? Do you do the scream and everything?
I'm so good at it.
Oh, okay. Well, now
we got to go to karaoke.
Yep. I think by we're hoping like July, knock on wood, that things will be back to semi-normal.
I know.
We're going to do that shit.
Karaoke open so bad. Or do you know Paradise by the Dashboard? Like, can you sing the male part?
No. I know
I
the song,
can you sing
but
the woman part?
I'm not going to sing no meal.
Okay.
I'm a karaoke monster, by the way. I'm very, very talented. It's one of my secret talents.
What's yours?
My karaoke go-to is Like a Stone by Audioslave.
Kidoki.
Sorrow by Bad Religion. or found out about you by the Gin Blossoms. Those are my three go-tos.
I wish I, and I still can, and I still do. I like Bad Religion probably more now than I did.
Second greatest punk rock band of all time behind the Ramones.
I didn't understand how fucking awesome Bad Religion was when I was in high school. I loved them. I loved them. But now I'm like, I get it. Like, they're not...
Grab a lyric sheet.
Yeah.
And be like, what is this?
It's amazing stuff. It's so smart.
Yeah. And the longevity, they've been around since like 81, I want to say, was when the first album came out, and they're still going now. And
yeah.
Yep, good shit.
So good. So good. But yeah. Okay, so you're more punk rock than you've ever been.
Yeah.
Where's the mohawk, Boris?
I'm bald now. I got like the big, I got the Costanza thing going on back here, so.
Oh my God, do you love Seinfeld?
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, I got, it's not so good. I'm actually going through Seinfeld right now. I got it on the hard drive. I watch it while I'm having my cereal in the morning. And
it used to be my fall asleep show.
The Office is my fall asleep show.
Yeah, that too.
What about Friends? Were you a Friends fan?
Blech.
No? So you don't care about the Friends reunion?
I don't at all. I wouldn't even say the only reason I would watch it. I won't.
Matt LeBlanc's all fat now. Kind of made me feel better about myself.
You're great. I can't wait to get back in the gym with you.
They need to open the goddamn gym because I feel like dog shit.
Okay, but are you going to come to like train? Are you coming to run ropes? You got to, yeah.
You know, you never know when you're going to get the call. I'm like Dennis Stamp. I don't know if you get that. Do you not get that reference?
I don't.
Oh, that's so sad.
What is it?
It's from a movie. Do you ever see Beyond the
Mat? You're going to have to cut this out. I'm so embarrassed.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. No, it's not. There was a wrestling documentary years ago called Beyond the Mat.
Yeah.
And there was a guy named Dennis Stamp who was like a jobber back in the day. And there's a clip of him, you know those little tiny like aerobics trampolines that you used to see where the girls with the leg warmers?
He
would hold a pair of dumbbells, and this Hema had to have been like 60 years old or 50 years old. Jumping on this trampoline and holding these dumbbells, and he's like, you never know when I get the call, never know when I'm gonna get booked. So that's the Dennis Stamp thing. So I'm like Dennis Stamp, you never know when I'm gonna get the call. You know, I took out Andy Anderson.
That's true. Know? That's true.
You never know when Boris Owens is gonna show up.
Maybe to wrestle a little Stone Cold TFA.
Listen, motherfucker. I'll give you all you can handle. Let's talk about the first clandestine show, just to kind of go out on this. I think that might have been the first time. Who did you work in that show? I don't even remember.
That I was only in the clusterfuck.
Or were you just in the club? Okay.
Yeah, I had just... Well, and if I'm being honest, I left MPW so I could do that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had been training.
Have you worked PWA? It's been like a year and a half since the PWA show, so I don't fucking remember.
Yes.
I don't remember. Have you?
Yes.
A lot?
Many.
Did you?
Yes, I've traveled in a car with you.
Did you? Oh my God.
On many occasions.
Have you really?
I gave you those jelly bellies that taste like
barf. Yeah, that's right. It's been so long and I'm an old man. Oh, I feel like such an asshole now.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, we'll cut this part out too.
I'm very forgettable.
She won't even look at me now.
Leave it in. Let people know who you are.
Yeah, fuck. Now I feel like a jerk. I forgot what I was going to say now.
You can
the clusterfuck, he doesn't do them by time. He does them by spot.
Yeah.
So I have to watch. If you notice, if you go back and you watch the DVD or the video, I don't commentate the clusterfuck.
Who was it, Sean?
It was Moore and it was Mike, and it might have been Michael Allen, Richard Clark as well. But I've got 4 pages of notes saying that this music... and I hope I'm not like saying things I shouldn't say in MRB. If I am, I totally apologize. But just like once this happens, then this guy comes out. And then when this happens, this guy comes out. So I'm watching like a hawk to make sure. And one of the funny things is Reed does a stalling suplex on Stephen Crow.
Yeah.
And my sheets.
My baby boy.
And my. Fuck, what a first match he had at that thing. That fucking kid.
Is so talented
a duck to water, you know?
Fearless he is. And he's so funny. He is the funniest person I've ever met in my life.
He's a good kid.
I think about him probably once a day. Just think about something funny he said and I laugh.
So I think it was him. But anyway, Reed's holding him up in a stalling vertical suplex. And my sheet says to hit so-and-so's music after the suplex. But they were told that I was going to hit the music during the suplex. So Reed holds this motherfucker. And if you go back and watch it, it's got to be at least a minute that he holds him up there. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And the crowd's popping and doing the counting thing. And yada. And then he hits the suplex and I hit the music. And then after, they're like, what happened? I was like, my sheet says after. And they're like, oh, I was waiting for you. So that's just one of
the
funny
stories. That's so funny. And Reed could. He's like, little shit brick house. Strong.
He's a talented motherfucker.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The way he moves. I love watching him wrestle.
And he did something nice for me.
Aww.
When we did our thing at the Saddle Dome.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool for me because I'm from Calgary, massive Calgary Flames fan. For me to wrestle, quote unquote, in the Saddle Dome, for like Kurt to let me be in the battle royal just so I could say that I wrestled the Saddle Dome. And he bumped for me.
Aww.
We were battling in the corner and then we come out of the corner. And he charges the ropes, and I give him, like, the whatever the fuck you want to call it. He bumps for me. I go to the ropes and cheer like I'm the man, and pride puts me out.
Yeah.
Reed Matthews has no reason to fucking bump for me. I'm nobody.
Yeah.
And he was like, no problem, dude. Let's do it.
I know.
Great guy. Great guy.
Such a sweetie.
All right. Anything else? I think we've said it all.
Yeah, we've said it all. I mean, can people still check out all the clandestines?
How does
that work?
As far as I know, everything is on the Backbreaker Media YouTube.
Yeah, so like I just feel like people should go check those out if you haven't already. Like the Act 2 episodes 1, 2, and 3 are out there.
Also, if you subscribe to the Patreon, there's some exclusive Patreon matches.
There's a match actually that was just announced between MRB and Zoe Sager. And it's a submission match?
It is a submission match.
Yeah.
And what's cool about this, because I was there. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. It was no referee on the honor system.
Really?
So if you got to the ropes, you had to break. You gave your word, you have to break.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a unique
thing. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to have to
subscribe. Solid match. A lot of fun. No, I'm not going to say that. I don't know if I'm allowed to. Never mind.
Don't say it.
I'm not saying
that.
But
nothing. I will say, like, those clandestine shows are so fun to make. I cannot wait until we get to get together again and make new ones because those are fun.
Are you worried about, not worried, but the first, I can't believe you've wrestled. How many PWA shows have you wrestled? I feel like such an asshole. I don't remember. It's been so long.
I don't know how many. I would say.
Like more than five?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, you must hate me.
No, not even a little.
Do you think you'll be nervous the first show? With fans, because I think the first show PWA does. I'm hoping that we, you know, if it's going to be at the North Gate, I'm hoping we're going to put 300 some people in there.
I mean,
because I'm just nervous about remembering how to hook all my shit up and getting in front of the microphone again and remembering how to do it all.
I feel like it's easy for me to.
And
say,
I got the easy part.
No, I won't be nervous, but I really feel like I'm better now than what anybody saw in any shows I've done. Mm-hmm. Before everything shut down. So like, yeah, I'll probably be a little bit nervous, but like, I'm so excited to get in front of a crowd because like, I really do want people to pop and be like, holy shit, that's TFA now. Mm-hmm. Like, because I've been putting in so much work and like, I want people to see it and I want to have like,
and I know how good
matches.
You're doing. I get status updates on what's going on with you.
Oh, you do? Tell me. Fill me in.
No. I'm not going to pump your tires all up here in front of everybody. Yeah, the AEW had a pay-per-view on Sunday, and it was their first pay-per-view that they did that they've done at 100% capacity. And I want to say there was maybe 5 or 7,000 people. But it was like, holy shit,
great.
There's people there. And they were hot all night, and it took what I think would have been a good show with no fans to a great show with fans. Like, it was a lot of fun.
You know, and again, like, what I catch from wrestling, I catch on, like, Instagram and stuff like that. But, like, when I watched Chris Jericho come out, you hear people singing his song all the time in his, like, when he enters, right? But for some reason, like, having everybody back and singing at him, it was, like, awesome to watch.
Yeah, it was really
because
cool.
It was like, it felt like more than just like, oh, this is like a cool wrestler. It was like, fuck, we're together.
Yeah, it's
again,
another, it's
doing
a
our
thing.
Favorite
yeah.
thing, watching our favorite people. Like, it was awesome to see.
And I watched a little bit of Raw on Monday. I don't watch a lot of weekly TV because I'm too busy watching nerdy indie wrestling. Mm-hmm. But every 2 seconds on Raw, they were, we're going back on the road. We're going back on the road. Elias was like, we're going back on the road. And they had all these guys doing all these promos going back yeah. on the road. So yeah. I wonder if it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system for those guys who are used to being on the road 5 days a week, where they've been home or been in one spot in Florida,
I mean,
getting back to it.
I'm sure. But I think it's going to be a shock for everybody. It's going to be weird, but like,
well, hopefully it's soon.
Wait. Well, yeah, but like, have I ruined my, I'm such a hermit now.
I always was, though.
I don't know.
Well, we got to do some karaoke.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
I got to hear this. All right. Well, for real, thank you. This was a lot more fun than me talking to myself for half an hour.
Well, thank you for having me.
I feel like I know all about your PWA career that I've called every match, probably. I'm so sorry. I really am.
God. Don't
I don't
even.
Remember. And again, I'm sure I called every match, and I'm sure they were all great.
Listen, B-Man, this just gives me more fire.
Because oh, fuck.
The first show back, I'm going to make you remember. Count my words.
All right. We are going to go out to a new song by a guy named Jeff Palmer. The song's called Many More Drugs. I first heard this guy, I don't remember where, but it sounded like the Ramones.
Okay.
And I love the Ramones. And I did some research on this guy, and I found out that there's like this subgenre of punk called Ramones Core. And it's all these bands mm-hmm. that just kind of play like the Ramones. And I was like, yeah. Fuck yeah. So I checked this guy's last album. It was called Pulling Out All the Stops, and it's fantastic. It's these like fun, poppy, punk, Ramonesy type songs, and this is brand new from him. It's just a single. I'm hoping there's a new full length that's going to come out soon. But it's called Many More Drugs. Jeff Palmer, Taryn, thank you. This has been super awesomely fun. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for
having me. I'm in preliminary discussions with Thaddeus Archer to be on.
Suck it, Thaddeus.
To be on next week, and. I'm going to shoot here. He's got big shoes to fill because this was awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll wear his scratch ticket suit. That was my line, by the way. Human scratch ticket. Maybe I didn't get the number cruncher, but I got the human scratch ticket. So. Fuck everybody.
Thanks for
listening. And we'll talk to you hopefully in a week or so.